going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America. For America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Last year, they ranked 32nd out of 32 teams, right? The NFLPA report card is a series of questions asked to players about how they feel their organization is doing. And I'll just read a bit here. I tweeted this out. It's all over. People can find it. The overview, after finishing last for two consecutive years, the Washington Commanders surged to 11th overall. The Commanders' improved rating reflects how meaningful improvements to players' daily experience can be achieved, even with physical facility limitations.
Yeah.
Key to the turnaround was the hiring of Dan Quinn, who finished the season as the number one ranked head coach across the league. Additionally, the team invested in the food program, improving their grade from a D-plus to a B-plus. They also increased the frequency of family events.
I can vouch
events.
For that one.
Yeah. I mean, dude, we can too. Just yeah. They're feeding the media. They also increased the frequency of family events and began providing daycare during home games, which boosted their grade for treatment of families, rising from an F-minus to a B-plus. The improvement in team travel is notable, with 95% of players reporting comfortable personal space on flights, up from just 50% last year.
Mm-hmm.
The team's strength coaches deserve special recognition for maintaining an A rating year after year. Nabes and Chad, that is all those guys. They do a hell of a job. The facility itself remains a major issue. The building is old and in need of major renovation. Players single out the locker room as the area that needs attention. When asked what the team does best, the most consistent response is clear. They are positively changing the culture, and it shows both in the survey results and on the field. I mean, I've seen a lot of this personally, like the family room they've created. I saw, I know it was St. Juice had a baby. I want to say in the middle of August, like during training camp, they had a little baby, and I saw his wife when she brought the baby to the first game, and she kind of got like caught up in this no man's land. You know where like the suite holder entrance is, and a lot of the suite holders are waiting for those elevators by the kind of where the big solar powered guy is. You know that entrance I'm talking about?
Yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about.
And that's a significant bottleneck right there that I imagine they're trying to address. And she was kind of stuck there, and I knew where she was trying to get to, and I was able to like show her where the family room was. And that was just something that didn't exist. Like if you brought a little baby, there just wasn't a family room, you know, you just sat in the stands with a baby. And stuff like that has become commonplace across the league, and Washington just didn't have it and didn't seem interested, and now they have it and they're interested.
Yeah.
The food stuff, the training stuff.
The last thing you want is having a player's wife pissed off that you didn't make it comfortable for him.
Totally.
That's the last thing you want.
You know what adds aggravation to your life? And it doesn't matter if you're a plumber or a lawyer or a football coach or an accountant.
Hmm?
When your wife's pissed off.
Yeah.
It doesn't help, man.
That don't help at all.
It doesn't help anything.
That makes things worse.
Yeah, dude. So
you think that player came to work and didn't seem like he was there yesterday? Wait till that happened.
Right, dude. So I think you could specifically, the only real, I don't even want to say bad grades, but where they ranked poorly were the locker room was an F, and that's about the physical structure.
Yeah.
Honestly, that feels like kind of a rough F. Like, I recognize there are some really dope locker rooms. The locker room's just not that big. Like, there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah, it's not big, and it's just plain, Jay.
Yeah.
So, and that's nothing that they can actually do at this present time. If they were to try to just, I mean, you can paint it a different color. You can do something else to, but it's what it is. Kind of hard to really change the structure of it. So, I mean, moving forward, they can get something done by that. But I think at this point, they just stuck with that. And that's something they inherited.
Yeah. And I think what's crazy is as college football situations have gotten so out of control, like, the locker rooms for some of these major college football programs are unbelievable. And so if that's your expectation coming into the pros and then you walk into the Ashburn facility, I kind of get it.
Yeah, when I first got here over at that other place, I was like, what the hell is this? But we won.
Right. The two that stand out the most to me, B, ownership specifically, mm-hmm. and they got an A rating, 8th out of 32 teams. I mean, this couldn't be more different, right?
Yeah.
I'll just read the comments. Owner Josh Harris's average rating for perceived willingness to invest in the facilities is 9.24 out of 10 from the Commanders players, a ranking of 10 out of 32 owners in the league. The players feel that Harris significantly contributes to a positive team culture, a rank of 4 out of 32. The players feel that Harris is extremely committed to building a competitive team, a rank of 4 of the 32 NFL owners. That's what you want, man.
You got
committed ownership, and the players feel it. It's hard to do much better than that.
Yeah.
And somebody pointed this out to me last night. If the Philadelphia 76ers are terrible, right? Embiid is like they got problems.
They got problems with their best player not wanting to play.
Right. But every year, the Sixers are pressing the gas to try to become an actual title contender.
Yeah.
Now, they've made mistakes, and Embiid is Embiid, and that whole situation is just uniquely NBA to me. But somebody pointed this out to me last night. Like, Harris is a press-the-gas, try-to-win guy. And I think we've said it enough now about people that think that Peters isn't being aggressive enough. Like, Harris is an aggressive guy, too. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, let's see how things play out. This, though, to me, Brian, stands out the most from the NFLPA report card, and it's an A+ first out of 32 teams grade for Dan Quinn.
Oh, yeah.
I'll read this now. 100% of Commanders players feel their head coach, Dan Quinn, is efficient with their time. He is one of 6 coaches across the league to receive a perfect score. The players feel that Quinn is highly receptive to locker room feedback on the team's needs, ranking him 1 of 32 head coaches in the league.
Hmm.
I think
if you have a coach who basically will let you know that he cares about you and your time, that coach then has the right to push you because you don't care at that point because you know he's not trying to do something wrong. But like some of these coaches want to dictate and tell you everything and you don't want to listen to nothing you say, that's the quickest way to lose the team.
I think totally. And veteran players said it throughout the year. Zach Ertz at the end of the year said, I've never felt like a coach cared about me more.
Yeah.
And you take care of your veterans.
That matters.
Dude, you take care of the vets. You give them days off. I think one of the smartest things they did on Thursdays, they have a standard week, Sunday 1 o'clock game, Wednesday's typically your longest day, and then Thursday tightens up a bit, and then Friday is short. Well, they added this like mandatory recovery period on Thursdays. And so it oddly like made the day a little longer for the media. But B, we all know this, right? Like if we're given the opportunity of leaving and going home, like say it's a damn Odyssey. Mm-hmm. We can leave and go home, or we're allowed to chill out on the couches and hang out. Everybody's going to leave and go home.
Yeah.
But if you build a schedule around it where there's mandatory hangout here time, and then meetings are after that, basically once meetings are over, guys can get out of there.
Yeah.
But if the meetings aren't until after that, they're going to do it. And then they have all they've invested all this money into recovery. I don't even know what the stuff is. Hoffman could tell you, like cryotherapy and all yeah, these different
cryo, all that different things, all those different things over there. But you know what? You just got to, the thing of it is you want to make your facility so good that the guys don't want to leave. Because what happens in that situation, when guys are around each other more, they talk more. You get a better feel of each other. And then all the stuff on the field, it enhances that even more. But if guys can just go and the facility is awful and they don't want to be around, and they keep leaving and they go away, you lose a little bit. And all those guys said they love being around each other. They started hanging more with groups. You've been through a stretch where, man, they went every direction they could go to get away from each other.
Totally.
So what Dan has done and the way that what Adam and Josh and all those people are doing is making guys come closer together. And I know a lot of people don't think it makes a difference, but that family and that mindset of believing that we are family, that makes a world of difference on the basketball, on football teams. Basketball teams, too.
Any team.
Yeah.
It really stands out to me. If you go back a year in time, Dan Quinn was a retread. How can you hire a defensive guy? Like, there was just the conversation in the city when they made that decision versus now he's just been voted by his players to be the best coach in the league.
Yeah. Because, you know, people like to go with narratives instead of really digging down and finding out what the hell's really going on.
And it doesn't matter now.
Yeah. At all.
He has been great. He is a true culture builder. But the difference with the notion of a player's coach versus the reality of what a player's coach can be doesn't mean you just let the guys do whatever they want. It's instilling discipline at the same time.
When you hear player's coach, all people hear is player. So that normally means to a person that, you know what, he leans toward everything the player wants. You know, you don't hear the second part of it, coach. Player's coach is a guy who understands how to get the best out of the player. You know, some of these coaches that are not considered player coaches, you know why? Because they don't listen to them. And if you're not listening to me, you may have the easiest stuff going on over there. But if you listen to nothing we say, we're going to be separated. We're not going to think the same. So you're not considered a player's coach, and your practices are easy as hell. But the guy that's pushing the hell out of me, he's considered a player's coach because he listens. You know, like I did a little thing for my teacher this morning from ninth grade, and I got emotional about it because that was the teacher that caught me at 14 when I was probably going to go the wrong way or the right way, and she got me on track, you know? And I was talking about that, and it made me realize so much, like, okay, this woman was hard as hell on me. Why am I so emotional about her? Because if she hadn't done what she did, I'm not talking to y'all right now. I might be dead some damn way. You know? So yeah. It's the person that gets you on track to how you become your best. And that's why Dan is considered a player coach. He, like Zach said, he allows them to be fresh. He gives them time to rejuvenate. He pushes the hell out of them. But they know he cares. And that mere fact right there is what it takes for guys to be looking at you as a player's coach and not necessarily a player pushover.
Totally. How about this, man? I'm going to read this. So I just posted Dan Quinn voted top coach in the NFL by his players. Remember how folks reacted to this hire. And a lot of people are responding, B. My guy Brandon said he wasn't my first choice initially, but I'm so glad we got him. Love the man and the coach.
I respect that, Brandon.
Yo, we both know this dude, Boy Genius, who's always causing trouble on the internet.
Yeah.
Boy Genius said that pic someone posted and went viral of DQ in an ill-fitting suit waiting in line at the airport in D.C. for his interview was so damn sad and disappointing for us fans. We ridiculed his J's and backwards hats. We apologize, DQ.
All right. People can, you know, say something and then come back and say, you know what, I changed my mind. That's allowed. But the ones that want to double down, don't understand them.
Right, right. Tischler just put together a cool little graphic side by side of the report cards from 24 to 25.
Mm-hmm.
Treatment of families went from F minus to B plus. Food and dining went from D plus to B plus. Nutrition and diet's the only thing that went down, and I'm kind of curious by that. Maybe we'll actually read that. Nutrition and diet went from B minus to C plus. And I
remember you brought, all you brought a lot of people in here from different teams, but 30 plus extra guys, and we don't know what they came from.
Right.
So it may be a step down for some of them, but we know what it used to be.
Right, right, right. So I'll read this specifically. Nutritionist, dietitian, 66% of players report they get an individualized nutrition plan, ranking the Commanders 31 out of 32 teams. The players feel that their team dietitian is moderately accessible, a ranking of 27 out of 32. What I can tell you is when they come in from practice into the locker room, there are multiple stations of snacks and food, all with, what do you call that? Caloric? Is that the term? Like the calorie information, the vitamin
intake? Caloric intake?
Yeah, like all that information is spelled out. It'd be hard for me to imagine a scenario. Now, granted, there are some physical limitations to the building, but where you had like more snack options and then like kind of recovery drinks and what's the thing I take in the morning? Electrolytes, mm-hmm. all that kind of stuff. I wonder if 66% of players reported they get an individualized nutrition plan, part of me wonders if the other 34% just didn't sign up for it, honestly.
Maybe not.
Because, dude, I will say, like, you see all this. There's a lot of healthy food, but then there's also pretzels. Like, there's also snacks.
I said something yesterday, Jay, about when I would have meetings and guys wouldn't show up, and then later on they complained about information they didn't know.
Right.
If the guys don't sign up for it and they don't understand that these grades are to help you get stuff better, you know what I'm saying? Now you might be getting what you want, but you're too damn lazy just to go fill out a form, and then it makes you look like the team is bad. You know what I'm saying? You want things to be in a certain – volunteer. I mean, give your time a little bit. So if you want everything to be improved properly.
I am curious what improved so dramatically on team travel. Because they went from an F to an A, and they said 95% of the Commanders players believe they have a comfortable amount of personal space on team flights, ranking them 8 out of 32.
777s and 87s.
What's that?
777s and 787s. You got a lot of room, 47? A lot of space.
Yeah.
You know, when you got all that space, these players are not the average size, most of them.
Right.
And when you got a, when they were flying before, it wasn't the same type planes.
Yeah.
They were getting them on there. Now you're getting them on there with some space.
Well, and one thing we know is they used to allow lots of folks onto the plane.
They had nothing to do with particularly the exact team, but for other folks.
And they have closed a lot of that off, which also creates more space.
Well, they do that, but when they have enough, they get a big enough plane where they are going to be sitting more right. to the back,
right,
closer to each other, instead of the players having to, you know, get all close to each other.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America. For America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
A lot of tailgating is going to be gone. If not, all of tailgating would be gone around the new stadium. Plenty of people up in arms about this. If you want to hop in, 800-636-1067. Get callers into Grant and Danny.
That's not final. That's the negotiation tool.
Grant and Danny had callers yesterday saying that this would be a deal breaker. They'd rather stay where they're at, and they don't want to go to RFK if that's the case. My thing with this, B. Mitch, is they're still not building this stadium until at the earliest, 2030, is what the mayor was saying. So if that's the case, you got 5 years to figure out spots to go tailgate, whether it's building up some stuff down by the river and people are talking about in other cities you can tailgate on barges and doing different stuff. There are different ways that you can do this and find different spots. I have no doubt, like you said earlier, that even if they build it there and they have parking garages and the space is more limited, which it was always going to be if they move all out of where they currently are, they're still going to be tailgating.
Yeah. Is it tailgating down by Nass Park?
Well, and I think this is the issue that people have, B. Mitch. They don't want to go to the bar.
They don't have any tailgating down here?
I have never seen a tailgate at Nass Park.
No, I'm not talking about everything ain't going to be as huge as it is.
Where would they be?
They got parking over here. I've seen people inside that damn parking garage around their cars drinking and stuff. That's Boo. Tailgating, right?
Boo.
Well,
not tailgating. That's just drinking around your car.
So you think in a parking garage, you can't tailgate?
No.
Why not?
One, everybody's going to be breathing in charcoal. One. Two,
but
no one
enclosed. They still got openings in all those places.
In a parking garage?
Yeah.
Nah, bro. I'm not feeling that one. That takes away from the entire experience of a football game. You know how many people who don't even have tickets that just go for the love of the tailgating just because they can't purchase a ticket, but that's the way they support the team? No, and then I'm going to speak for myself. I do not want to be in a bar or a restaurant before kickoff. I want to walk around.
I understand what you're saying, but you know what? People do it every damn game.
Where?
All over the country. Everybody is not in the parking lot tailgating.
We are talking about why would our fans drive two hours plus to come sit in the garage? That takes away from the culture of everything.
Jeff,
I don't care. I'm not emotionally tied to RFK.
You wasn't born when RFK was there.
And that's why I have no attachment to it.
They had tailgating outside by RFK. Okay, if you got outside, and they go, all the cars won't be parked in the garage.
What space?
Dude, right around the stadium.
If they take all that and build that in garages, where are they going to have space?
They're not
going to
build all garages. This is something that somebody mentioned what they want to propose.
Yeah, and the thing is,
it ain't final.
If it's no tailgating, I am against it. I'm sorry, right,
Jeff.
I'm glad it's not in DC anyway.
You already said that.
No, the thing is, I'm cool with it being in DC. If we could, I don't want it to go nowhere. If they say we can't tailgate, no, that is a prime.
When the last time you tailgated, Jeff?
I tailgate every.
No, no. I want to know when the last time you held a tailgate.
Oh, my family.
My family.
What are you talking about?
Let's try the question one more time. But when was the last time you held a tailgate?
Dude, I'm telling you, you're trying to negate it just because I said I threw it with my family on the Cowboys Commanders game because that is our thing. We all get all tickets there and we tailgate there.
Okay.
We have done it for the past 4 or 5 years.
Well, I'm going to tell you
and,
like
and
you
when
said,
my grandmother was living, we did that. DC, we did that all the time.
And you're going to see it's going to be tailgating.
What if it's not, B? That's the thing. We can play the optimism side all you want, but who wants to tailgate and they got to look over their shoulder to make sure no one is coming to shut it down?
I mean, I think that's a big part of this, right?
They do it right now. So it's the game over and make you run out of the stadium.
Well, but I think that's a big part of it is people are going to still tailgate. But like you said, Jeff, I don't want to have to worry if I'm tailgating that I'm going to get yelled at to move or
the question
tear it
I
down
ask is this something final right now or is this something they mentioned?
I mean, it's still something they're working on.
Until
no
it's final, then you don't know. And I believe it will not be final because a lot of people, just like you're saying, are going to feel the same way. So they're going to have an area to tailgate. It's going to be an area.
And they're going to charge you more to be in that area to tailgate.
They're going to charge you more anyway.
Why we got to go through all that? Why we got to go through all that?
So you want to stay at the whole stadium?
Yeah, and build it up. Why not?
If you build it up, they're going to charge you anyway for the build-up.
No. What I'm saying is, you got to pay for parking, all right? And then if you got to pay more because you want to park and tailgate, that's crazy.
But to be honest with you right now, if you look at the tickets and how the parking is, they charging some people more anyway. So it's going to always be people charged more. So whether it's like a tailgate area or not, you're going to be charged more no matter what when you build a new stadium.
Well, and I think the reality is no matter where they go, you're going to have less tailgating space regardless unless they stay where they're at because the fact is they're just built in the middle of a parking lot. So there's going to be less tailgating space. But I do think that there needs to be a way that they still have a large area. And the caller before had brought up that maybe the top of the parking garage can be a designated tailgating space. And Jeff, I mean, you could explain this more than I can. I don't know that that's nearly enough space, just the top of a parking garage, for the number of tailgates that you have. There are certain people that have tons and tons of people. There are some people that just want to tailgate with their family. It's, you know, 4 or 5 people. But there are huge tailgates, a big part of what they do over at Northwest Stadium. And some of the callers brought up a point yesterday, B. Mitch, that said, you know, this team has been bad for so long that tailgating, it still happened at RFK back in the day, but it became even more prevalent with the surrounding area around FedEx and now Northwest Stadium. And the team was horrible, so that became the highlight. Now that the team is good again, they don't want to give up the tailgating, which became a highlight of their game day.
I understand all that, but this is where I'm a little different than most people. We are going to have an argument about something that's not set in stone because somebody suggested that. Somebody else is also probably suggesting that they're going to keep tailgating around. And I have to believe that if you're going to build a stadium and there will be some level of outdoor parking, you're going to have a level of tailgating.
Yeah.
Okay. Baltimore is right in the middle of the city, right? They tailgate around that place too. I believe D.C. won't be no different.
Yeah. I
know a lot of people because
the thing with that is, though, B, where Baltimore is and walking up, it's like places, like it's vacant lots. If you go around RFK, where would you have those lots at?
The same. I think they're going to have some. So they may not be as many lots they had prior, mm-hmm. but you're going to have still some lots, okay? And if the suggestion is on top of a parking garage, you're outside, you're on top, you still can tailgate. That'd make a difference.
800-636-1067. You want to hop in on the MGM National Harbor listener lines. Plenty of phone calls. Let's get out to Larry in La Plata. Larry, what's going on?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Please listen to Obi-Wan Mitchell because he's absolutely right. a couple of things to point out. Number one, tailgating is weaved into the fabric of the NFL. However, number two, a famous ABC executive once said, the answer to all your questions is money. They can build more parking spaces into the sky than they can on land. However, there will be a designated tailgate area, but it won't be that big, and it will be very expensive. They will want to encourage you to patronize the bars and the restaurants around. So, like Brian is saying, there will be a space. But at the end of the day, the answer to all your questions is money.
Well, and Larry, okay? Appreciate the phone call. The issue that people have with that is that part of the reason tailgating is so prevalent is I don't want to pay $15 for a beer. I don't want to pay $12 for a hot dog when I can go down to the local grocery store, buy one of those things much cheaper, and then enjoy it out at my own tailgate where I'm grilling my own hot dogs and drinking my own beer.
And then
that's the issue.
Have you ever been to a bar in D.C.? You know what you're going to spend for a single shot drink? And you don't think that price is going to be upped around a new stadium? Nah, I'm not with it.
I'm
going
to
tell you like this here. Not be with it, but it's gonna be some tailgating.
Well, and look, I tend to side with I don't personally tailgate. I tend to side with it's not as big a deal, but I do understand that it is a big part of game day for a lot of people, and you're going to frustrate a lot of fans who already feel like they've been piled on. Yes, this season was great, and hopefully there's plenty more to come, but they're frustrated.
You're talking as if this is what the team is suggesting. This is not the team suggesting this.
No, it's not.
So the team wants the tailgating. And I think eventually if the team, like they're saying, we're not going to use public funds. If the team going to use a lot of their money, that's going to be tailgating.
Yeah.
Okay? If we just go with you have a lot of people who have moved into D.C. from all these other areas that could give a damn about the whole football team altogether. And this is people now living in that area that weren't there before, that don't want anything around. They just want to live and walk around with their little dogs all day. If the stadium goes in D.C., tailgating is going to follow. Believe me.
I mean, I went to a game.
I don't know a stadium where there is no tailgating.
Yeah, we get that it's going to follow, B, but it just sucks as a consumer that you already got to pay for the tickets to go to the game. You got to pay to park. And now if we want to tailgate on top of bringing all the food that I've bought, all the drinks that I've bought, on top of that, I have to pay to get into a smaller lot. That's just crazy for the consumer.
That's a suggestion I made. That's not a guarantee of that. But the whole thing is like you say you and your family do one game a year.
Yeah.
Okay. So you think anybody's going to do it based off of that fact? No.
No. Because, but you got people who tailgate every day.
Those people who tailgate every day will find a way. They don't give a damn about what they do.
Yeah. See, that finding a way thing is the part that rubs me the wrong way. But, this is all hypotheticals.
That's what I'm saying.
That so find a way.
I'm telling you, that's why I don't like having discussions about hypotheticals.
But B, this is a prominent thing in the offseason. We're talking about the location of our stadium and which we're going to pay for. Who
said y'all going to pay for it?
No, what I'm talking about, we're going to pay. When this location and stuff change, we're going to pay. If we got to go to a bar to tailgate, that's us paying for that. The thing is,
he's not paying for the stadium. I think the stadium already been set. The team is not. It's going to not be just tax dollars.
No, but what I'm saying, B, because if you take tailgating away or limit it and charge more, that's still more on the consumer. That's still more that the consumer is playing. Because
that's the American way, bro.
Yeah, but the thing is, new. If that is what we have to sacrifice for that to go to RFK,
I'm gonna close out with one more statement.
We ever
paid for a damn ticket, Jeff?
Listen, come B. On, when I speak, I'm not speaking for, because you know I worked my way to get in this position. I'm talking about the everyday people who love this team, who got to spend their hard earned money. And well, I'm with them because that's some of my folks. If they can't, if that is a part of the sacrifice that we have to go to RFK and we're going to have limited tailgating, I am not for it.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
we've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America. For America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
A really good explanation. This is the business of football, and folks shouldn't be surprised or upset. Like, this is just how.
You tweeted out what I said?
I did. You had a great quote.
And I meant it.
You said, listen, that's the business of football. I dealt with it. Art Monk dealt with it. Hell, Joe Montana dealt with it.
Hey, bro, I'm going to tell you like this. When you get into this league, I want to tell every guy, yes, you should be prepared to play. But you damn sure are obligated for yourself to learn the business side of this game. Because the moment that they can get rid of you and get somebody that they think is better than you, they will. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean that the guy is better than you. Well, this is what it goes about. When you sign your rookie deal, you can be playing a certain level. Once you get to that next deal, you can no longer play like you did on the rookie deal because now it may not be good enough. It's basically what I mentioned about. Remember I told you my boy Kenny said he had gotten when they give you a better
severance
job.
Or something?
No, to give you the better job. What you call it?
Promotion. Yeah,
he got a promotion. I said, did they give you more money? He said, nah, I got a different title. I said, nah, dog, don't accept that. And he said, why? I said, because you can get fired for today, what you do, the same stuff you were doing yesterday, if you continue it. This is the same thing with the NFL. Once you move on and you make that big-time player money, your standards go up. What they expect goes up. And if you're not living up to it on a consistent or better than consistent basis, they start thinking that you're no longer the player that you thought that they thought you were. It has nothing to necessarily do with how well you play or not. It has a lot to do with how much more money we're giving you now. So when you get more money, you have to elevate. And if you don't elevate in their eyes, it's not necessarily in the player's eyes or the coach's eyes or anybody. It's what the front office has stipulated what they expect you to do. If you're not doing it, then that chance comes for them to move on.
It totally be. If you look at the top four cap numbers on Washington's roster, Daron Payne, Daron Payne's at the top of the list, has his cap numbers over $26 million. He's got $9 million in guarantees. He would carry a $26 million dead cap hit if you cut him. Payne ain't going.
Daron.
Daron.
Yeah, he ain't going to run.
So for everybody that's saying, oh, why not get rid of Duran? It's math, dude. Yeah. Some of these is it's math.
The business of the sport once
right.
again.
Right.
And you have and I tell every guy, man, I was a union rep. I got as high as executive vice president. And what I learned is that most guys are idiotic when it comes to the business side of football. I would call meetings when I had to teach them something about the new CBA. Nobody showed up. You know, the only time they showed up? When they got checks. So only time I would hold their damn checks for weeks until I figured out the day I'm going to do this and I'm going to educate you. Everybody came. You know when I gave them the check? After the damn meeting. And if you didn't come to the meeting, I didn't give it to you. I mailed it to you. So I did my job. So every player has to learn that too. And sure. then you don't get overwhelmed by anything. You don't, you know, it's not like, I was ambushed. No, you weren't. If you already learned the business, you know what's coming. You know how to expect it. And yeah. your agent should be teaching that too.
I don't think – I honestly don't think this one has any surprises, honestly. If you
not
look at the,
John, I don't think. I think no. John is an intelligent young man. I know he understands this. I'm speaking to the fans that are going to sit up here and act like
– I don't even think many of them are surprised, B.
Jay, you don't listen to how fans act. We're going to open up these phone calls today. We'll find out.
Well, let's ask Jeff real quick while we got you. Jeffrey, you're a big Burgundy and Gold fan. John Allen given permission to seek a trade. You surprised?
Well, you got to think, JP. My Ashburn syndrome settled down tremendously as I started to study the game more. I'm actually not surprised. A couple of my friends, we were talking at my house, and I was like, yo, because we was talking about the whole Myles Garrett thing. I was like, yo, if we get Myles Garrett, that means John going to have to go or they're going to have to restructure his contract. Something is not going to be able to be that much money on a defensive line. And so I'm not surprised. Not surprised at all. And see,
you got to realize he works here every day. He hears a different aspect. You know, the fanatical people out there, some of them, are, they just, like yesterday.
Of course, yesterday, I just think more of them, honestly, were wanted this move, expected this move. That's all I'm saying, specific to this one.
We had the conversation yesterday, and certain people was talking about who I like this player, what they do. That's the way people think. And let's be real. Yes, a player that does spend time with the fans, a player that signs autographs all the time, the player that might be from the area, that's all gravy if you're doing everything on the football field you're supposed to be doing. But the moment the team don't think you're playing to the level you're going to play, that means absolutely zilch to the team. The player and, I mean, the fans love it. The team don't give a damn about that unless you're balling.
Indeed. I don't think this should be – I don't think it's a surprise. I think this is typical business. If you just look at the top four cap hits Washington has, Payne's not going anywhere because of math, frankly. It would be a serious cap problem to try to move him. He's guaranteed $9 million this year. That now maybe Duran that gets interesting next year, but as of going into 25, Payne is a D tackle. Terry has a $25 million cap hit. Frankly, no guarantees on that. I would imagine they're having contract talks with Terry.
Yeah. I would think so. Terry performed last year better than he did any year.
Right.
you know, so it is what it is, bro.
If you want to look at the numbers on it, it would be an 11 mil dead cap hit, but you'd save 14 mil. Like you would be on the right side of that thing. Again, I don't expect any of that to happen. I think they try to work out an extension for Terry. I think you pay him around 30, and everybody's happy. You throw some guarantees on this year. You guarantee the following year, the third year, which would now be 27, probably doesn't have guarantees on it. That's just the business of football. Okay. Next on the list is John Allen, about $22.5 million cap number, no guarantees. Dude, here's the truth. If they can't work out a trade, which, look, frankly, is probably unlikely. If you can't work out a trade, you take a dead cap hit of $6 million, but you save more than $16 million against the cap.
Yeah.
And if you give it, like, this is just math, and it's fairly simple. And then if you look at the next highest cap hit for Washington, it's Lattimore. And he's got an $18 million cap number with no guarantees. I think, B, that kind of deal for both parties, you just tell them to play on it. Hey, hey, man, we know you were hurt last year. We believe in you. Let's see it. Yeah. And I don't think Lattimore, with the amount of time he has missed, is in a position to seek more cash or seek more guarantees. And I don't think Washington's in a position where they have to offer it because of the injuries.
True. And it's like both people, you know, it's like, look, we're where we're supposed to be. Now, if you want to prove it, prove it.
Right.
See, but I wish salary cap, like implications and stuff like that, was all the math, because you'd be an A-plus student then.
That's simple, what I'm good at.
Simple math, you cannot do.
I think, so that's your top four. And if you want to go down the list, Luvu, they just got done, and he's a bargain at 12 on your cap.
Luvu's going nowhere.
Yeah, right. Cosme, they just got done. I mean, these are two contracts that got done last year.
Yeah.
Like, those guys aren't going anywhere. Wiley's your next interesting one. If you want to keep pulling the thread, Wiley has a $10 million cap hit, no guarantees. If you release him, it's almost $8 million in cap savings with a two and a half dead cap hit. That's a really interesting one. If you mm-hmm. talk about getting better in the trenches, and if they want to sign a tackle, that's one to circle. Because after that is Armstrong, Biotish. Armstrong has a $10 million cap number. He doesn't have guarantees this year, but they just signed him. I don't think that would be a move to be made. And contractually, they would take a big dead cap hit. Biotish has guarantees. Oh, and by the way, they're not going anywhere. And then, B, I was curious what you thought about this. The 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. The 10th top cap number for your Washington Commanders. I think you keep this player around, even though the cap number is about $8.5 million. Fellow by the name of Jaden Daniels.
He ain't going no damn way.
I mean, obviously, not to mention that's you know what? Unbelievable that steal
a
right there.
Category of like, I was trying to do it away without saying the words, but I'm gonna just change it up. That would be a category. If you think this, you're stupid.
Right.
Ain't going nowhere.
Totally. Let's get down to business.
Yeah.
You're going to be slammed all week. What are some of the analysis? What are some of the players you think could help themselves the most this week?
One on Saturday, Caleb Johnson, the running back from Iowa. I there was talks that he, because he's 6 foot, he's 225, that he could be a 4'6", 40 guy. He could be a high 4'5", 40 guy. I have been banging the table of, no, he is way faster than that. He has run over 22 miles an hour on Iowa's GPS system. And interestingly, when they dropped the props yesterday, I don't know if you saw the 40 props, but they dropped Caleb Johnson at 4.45. So wow. The sports books appear to be betting that he will be faster than the public anticipates, and I think he will be too.
Will he run his way into the first round if he gets there?
I would say early second.
Okay.
Yeah. Although, you know, there's been talk that the second running back will get into the first round. I still have my skepticism about that because this running back class is so historically stacked.
Okay.
Besides Jenty, I don't know why a team would feel incentivized to take a different running back in round one.
Even the kid Hampton?
Even Hampton. I mean, he's going to put on a show on Saturday for sure. He was set in the mid 4.4s as well. Obviously, he's a big kid as well at 220 pounds, but for me, I wouldn't take the other one until the running back two until early Friday.
So there's a lot of talk is being talked about the defensive line being the best group out there, and it's loaded. What's right behind them?
Yeah, well, interior defensive line in the running back class, I would say. I also really like the tight end class. The tight ends were out there at the podium today. You have your two sort of crown jewels of that class. Tyler Warren, the guy who can do everything, advance the ball for you, and then Colson Loveland, just a really polished, skilled receiver. And then behind them, I think there's five or six other tight ends that are going to start in the NFL for a bit. We have a couple guys coming off injury, too, in that position group that I think are going to go later than they probably should. Luke Lachey from Iowa, Mitchell Evans from Notre Dame. So it's just a really interesting group. But those would be the three I would toss out.
The kid Warren, Tyler Warren, is from just north of Richmond. I think he's from Mechanicsville. and is grew up a huge Skins fan. He wears 44 for John Riggins.
Wow. Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. I didn't know that.
His father, when he was a kid, made him watch old Riggins tapes to learn how to run with the football.
That guy freaking looks like John Riggins with the ball, like a jumbo version, if that's even possible. But yeah, he just runs people over. And as you know, Penn State was handing him the ball this year.
Yeah.
You got the specialized Brock Bowers usage with Tyler Warren. And I don't know if we had seen that with the collegiate tight end who was as big as that. You know, the stuff of shifting into the backfield, the end arounds, the trick plays they use with him, all that different stuff, just manufacturing him touches, just wildly impressive.
Unfortunately, there's zero chance he gets to 29 for Washington, and they don't have the picks to move up, I don't think.
Yeah, for sure.
Talking with our friend Thor Nystrom here. He's joining us via the Rude Guest Hotline. We're live in Indy. The top of this draft's pretty interesting because quarterbacks always get overdrafted. For, you know, in my book, I think Ward is clearly better than Sanders. But I think the two best players in this draft are Abdul Carter and Travis Hunter.
Yeah.
I'm curious where your rankings are.
Yeah, yeah. You know, taking out the positional value for sure. Travis Hunter, I think even, you know, the whole thing with the quarterback value, Travis Hunter is one of the first guys that I can think of where he could make an argument of qualitatively, I have this similar value to a franchise quarterback. Because you're getting an A starter, an A-plus starter at two different positions. Obviously, cornerback. And then the receiver thing, I think as a rookie, you're talking 40 to 50% of snaps he will play on offense. But those snaps, I think his team is going to have a separate Travis Hunter playbook, and he is going to be the featured receiver when he is on the field. You're going to keep him off the field on offense when you're running the ball and stuff like that. You're not going to welcome excess contact to him, but you're going to get him the ball when he's out there on offense. So Travis Hunter, for me, the Titans came out right away, their new general manager, and said, we're not going to pass on a generational talent. There is only one in this draft class. His name is Travis Hunter.
Wow, there you have it.
But like in college, you see them do this a lot. Once they get to the NFL with all these analytics and money, they back off of that a little bit. Can you see him playing 50% every game?
I can, yeah. I mean, because Travis Hunter is different than some of these other guys we've seen coming in, where he played both ways the entire time. Including 2 years at the Power Four level. So I absolutely think he can. He certainly wants to. The only thing he doesn't want to do, as we found out today, is return kicks. He said, I already have two jobs. He is going to the NFL to attempt to become the Shohei Ohtani of the NFL. That's what he wants to do, and he's going to be given an opportunity to do that.
All right.
That's a hell of a desire to want to be Shohei. I mean, I guess I get it. It makes sense. I was talking to a DB coach last night, and the way I view it is unless he's Jerry Rice, unless he's what Jamar Chase is right now, the value he has at corner is so much more significant that you play him at corner immediately day one and you build a package, and maybe over time you add more to that package. You'd think it's more than that.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Cause I think he'll be able to handle 40 to 50% of snaps. And I think the discussion how that ends up shaking out as a rookie, it's not going to be between the coaching staff. It's going to be with your analytics department, your medical staff. Mm-hmm. You're going to have people running regression analysis to try to go back and try to ballpark something of how many snaps could the human body at that size handle before the risk of injury just gets so elevated that it's not palpable for us anymore. I also think you can make an argument that Travis Hunter would be a bit better on the field if he is not playing 100% of the snaps on both, right? Like people bring up the Elik Iomanure game when they played Stanford in the second half there, where Elik Iomanure was just torching Travis Hunter. There was games where he got tired in the second half, which is that is understandable. I think you can keep the injury risk down and keep him closer to 100% when he's on the field if you cut those offensive snaps down, and his NFL team will have to decide what that is as a rookie.
So you mentioned the Stanford receiver, which I have no chance of pronouncing his name. Say it again.
Elik Iomanure.
Elik Iomanure. I'm looking at a recent article you put in fantasylife.com. And we actually just had a caller call about this dude. So Deebo Samuel is out there.
Yeah.
He's available. Obviously, Adam Peters has ties to Deebo. Like there's some reasonable questions to ask if Washington would be interested there. This caller, though, just said, skip Deebo and draft Savion Williams out of TCU. You highlighted him as a player to watch this week
in
your Fantasy Life column. Tell us what we need to know about Savion Williams.
Savion Williams is an athletic freak. So on Saturday, you're going to be hearing that name quite a bit. TCU had him at 6'5", 225. I don't think he's measured in here yet. My sheet had him last summer, 6'3 and three quarters. But either way, a big kid and super duper athletic. I think he was 22 and a half on their GPS that they had clocked him at. He's expected to jump 40 plus inches in the vert. So a tremendous athlete. For Washington, though, I don't know if Peters would be attracted to Savion Williams, because Savion Williams can't run routes, and he catches the ball sometimes like he's catching them with his elbows. His ball skills come and go, and that's a kind way of putting it. I think he had 8 or 9 drops this past season, and a bunch of them were within 9 yards of the line of scrimmage. He did not have many catches last season beyond 10 yards. The previous 2 years, they tried to use him as a traditional boundary guy. He just doesn't create separation enough. It was 31% separation percentile against single coverage by PFF 2 years ago. I think it was 51 the year before last. And then this year, they turned him into the manufactured touch guy. That is why he ended up, his game ended up jumping up, and he had the breakout season. But all of his touches came within 9 yards of the line of scrimmage. I think the Debo guy, if you're not going to get Debo, and I think Washington is heavily kicking the tires on that. But if that is not possible, I think the guy to keep an eye on for Washington, it's Luther Burden. Luther Burden's stock has been dropping. This was a guy who was in the top 10 of every two early mock draft early May last year. And this year, Missouri had terrible quarterback play. Their offense wasn't very good. They weren't manufacturing the same kind of touches for him. But for me, Luther Burden is this class's Debo Samuel. It's the same thing. You get that kid the ball, and then it's magic after that. And he might fall there to the end of the first. I think on Saturday with his testing, that's going to inform some of that. But Luther Burden's stock is falling right now. And in a weak receiver class, he would be absolutely a slam dunk at the end of the first.
Wow, so Burden at 29, huh?
It could happen. He is out of the first round of some very prominent mock drafts right now.
That's fascinating, dude. That is a dude coming into the season had like Heisman hype.
Mm-hmm.
He was a
5-star recruit,
right, out of St. Louis.
Yeah, the whole deal. And right from the get in the SEC, he was a feature player, of course, on that Missouri offense. First 2 years were great, and last year was just weird. They had the quarterback play wasn't very good. They had injuries at quarterback. The running game wasn't as good. Cody Schrader was gone. And Luther Burden got frustrated a couple of times. There was a couple of games he was sort of stalking up and down the sideline. And if I was him, I would have been frustrated too. They were not getting him the ball enough.
Hmm. Interesting. All right. Let's go to Alabama.
Yeah.
The linebacker, Jihad Campbell.
Yeah.
Interesting player there.
Abdul
Carter is such a stud, but Campbell can really rush the passer, man. Tell us what we need to know. Where do you think he goes?
Yeah, and this is a guy that can really help his stock here. And it's a guy, he played off-ball linebacker the last 2 years as a starter at Alabama, but he came into – it's funny, he played defensive end and wide receiver in high school, and then he was signed as a 5-star recruit as an outside 3-4 pass-rushing linebacker. But then Alabama shifted him to off-ball these last couple of years and situationally used him off the edge. He had about 10% of his snaps rushing off of the edge. I have heard that during pre-draft training that he has almost 100% been training as an edge rusher. I feel like he feels probably I wasn't at his podium today, but I feel like he probably feels like the last 2 years he got plenty of work at the off ball and therefore wanted to sort of flesh out the edge rushing thing, plus some of the drills here and the bending around and stuff like that, the fluidity with that. Teams care about that stuff, so he was working on that, and you show an NFL team I can be used half off the edge, I could be used off ball. He showed, this was shocking, he was really good in coverage at Alabama, really like better than he had any business being as a defensive end edge rushing, type outside linebacker guy who was just learning off ball linebacker. But yeah, that is a multi-skill guy and an absolute athletic freak. Right now at the books, I think he's 4.47 for the 40 is what his prop is. People are expecting him to blow the roof off this place, and we'll see.
Where's he going?
He will go, well, if he tests as well as we think, I think there's a really good shot at the top half of the first round.
Offensive line is not a sexy.
I don't think 29. Yeah, unless he falls on his face in testing, which I would not anticipate. But gotcha. Yeah.
Offensive line, not a sexy position to ask for, but you know what? You can't do nothing without him. As we saw with the Eagles, did everything with Saquon.
That's right.
Who are some of those guys that you think are going to be making some noise, or guys that you didn't see at first but may jump up?
Yeah, in terms of the offensive line class, one of the guys I'm interested to see is Gray Zabel from North Dakota State. Was a guy that there was got a lot of hype at the Senior Bowl. He was the only offensive lineman who did not lose a one-on-one rep, and he has potential five-position versatility. He was a left tackle at North Dakota State. The NFL tried him at guard in Mobile. They tried him at center. He was dominant at both those positions. The last question with him is, what is the athletic testing? And he could punch his ticket into the first round if he tests well. So that's a guy that we're keeping an eye on. Armand Mbu, staying in the state of Missouri with the Missouri Tigers, a collegiate teammate of Luther Burden. He's a guy that we're keeping an eye on, too. He's a sawed-off 6'3 tackle, but he was dominant in the SEC. He hasn't even turned 21 yet. I think his PFF grade last year was like 92 or something like that. And he has the length, as we saw at the Senior Bowl, to potentially hang on the outside. The last question with that is the athletic testing. We think he's going to test well as well, where the NFL will potentially view him as a tackle, but that's something to keep an eye on with Mbo.
Let's go a little deeper. We hear D-line is the strength of this draft, right?
Yep.
Washington has three picks in the top 80. I think you're trying to get three starters out of three picks in the
For
top
sure.
80. What are some guys that are maybe targets as you get further down? You know what I mean? The areas of need that really stand out to me, D-line, maybe tackles, and then skill position. They only have two receivers on their contract.
Yeah, well, so for tackle, one guy who's sort of fallen off the radar a little bit that I like is Ariante Ursuri from Minnesota. He was good down at the Senior Bowl, and he's a guy who was previously in a lot of the first-round mocks, has sort of fallen out of there as some of these other tackles have become more popular. It looks like he could fall into day two. That would be a guy that I would be very interested in, assuming that he does. The interior defensive line class, one guy that I'm super interested to see how he tests is Darius Alexander from Toledo. Was fabulous last year in the MAC. He moves around really well. We saw that in Mobile. How will he end up testing? Deion Walker is one other guy. The mutant from Kentucky. He's over 6'7". He's 340 pounds. He played games in college over 350. Yeah. 2023, he was absolutely tremendous in rushing. I think he had 7.5 sacks. Last year, he fell off. He was nicked up. He was on and off the field. Sometimes his problem is leverage. When he plays with leverage, he is unblockable. When he doesn't, he's the easiest guy in the world to block because then he's just a skyscraper. He pops up at the snap. I think in the NFL, you can potentially squeeze more juice out of him by playing him less snaps and make sure that he is 100%, you know, and not winded when he's on the field. But that's another guy I'm very curious to see how he tests.
There's so many dudes. What do you think happens at the top of the draft?
Do you think
this Carter injury thing ends up mattering?
I think it could. Yeah. I mean, I was less convinced than others that he is the guy at one, that he was sort of the generational prospect that was being alluded to. Again, for me, that's Travis Hunter. But yeah, I mean, the margin for error, of course, is so narrow, you know, at those heights, those lofty heights that, yeah, absolutely. I think that could end up costing him. But I mean, could he get lower than four? I doubt it. I doubt it. Like, I think if he gets to the Patriots, that's a quick card turn in.
So how do you see the top going? Where do you think Shador goes?
I would say probably Cam Ward at two. I think Shador.
Who's two? Cleveland?
Cleveland, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
A mess that team is.
What a mess, yeah. And yeah, I mean, because there's been more smoke about them being interested in popping that quarterback at two. I was sort of thinking that maybe they would sign Cousins after he gets cut.
Yeah.
But, you know, you have the administration on the hot seat there. You have the coaching staff on the hot seat. But, that's the way the wind's blowing right now. And as far as Shador, I think Raiders is a good bet. Unless the Raiders end up getting Sam Darnold, then I think probably the Jets at seven is where the bus ends there.
Fascinating stuff, man. Dude, you're the book of knowledge. How many prospects are here?
329, I think.
How many of them have you watched? Have you studied?
Probably 200 and some right now.
And like, there's so one thing that B. Mitch and I kind of try to push back on. There are so many people, because of the internet and because of social media particularly, that claim to be insiders when they aren't. They claim to be, you know, X's and O's, like they grind the film, which they don't. They watch like highlights on YouTube.
They watch TV.
And then there's so many like draft analysts that don't put the time and effort, and you're the real deal, dude.
Appreciate you.
Thank you for making time.
I appreciate you. Thank you for the kind words.
Yeah, man. Kick ass. What is your week like? You're here till the end, right?
Yeah, we're here till Monday. So I can't wait. The testing is just about to start here in a couple hours. I'm geeked. You know, there's all these guys. We're thinking about what, you know, where we think they are and where they end up testing. Stock's going to go up and down here. So I can't wait.
Interesting question for you.
Yeah.
So Peters and Quinn this week, we're asking about pass rushers, obviously. And they're, they say their biggest thing is the 10-yard split, the first 10 yards in the 40, because that's their get-off. Is there a different measurable you like for pass rushers?
No, that's a really good one. The other one would just be straight speed score, you know, where you're weight adjusting that 40 time. And then three cones, another one that I look at. But, yeah, I mean, the 10-yard, the Vikings do as well. Kwesi Adofo-Mensah, famously, the 10-yard is – the analytics guys tend to be drawn to that 10-yard because, yeah, it's the explosion. It's the first step. It's the getting off the line. I mean, every single position, it is important to have that first step quickness and the explosion there, the first 10 yards.
Absolutely. All right, Thor, thank you, buddy. I appreciate you making the time for us, man.
What to do with the number 29 overall pick. And I think JP brought up a good point last week that I really agree with. When you look at pick number 29 versus where this team has been drafting in the top half of the draft the last couple of years, obviously last year we knew at number two they were going quarterback. But the last couple of years you had a general idea of where they could go. This year they could go almost any position outside of the quarterback position and it would not be a shocker.
It wouldn't be a shock. You know, but as you and I just finished talking for an extended period of time, I think if you lean towards a big guy, it wouldn't be a problem.
Yeah, I mean,
you know, they talk about how deep the D linemen are.
Mm-hmm.
You got some old offensive linemen that could be sitting there too. Hell, you got receivers that might be sitting there. So you could probably go either way, but I think you start off all of this with the big guys. When you hear Adam Peters talking about building from the draft, people make that whatever they want to be. There's a point in this league where you can go get some certain guys from teams that have not made that name yet. But if you build from the draft and you get the right guys, all of a sudden you start having that stable of guys that's hitting every year. And then you get that 4 or 5 year period going.
Well, and I
good
think
things happen.
So a lot of people looked at, so last year Adam Peters joined Grant and Danny, and he had said that they weren't going to go on a spending spree and that they were going to build through the draft and then supplement through free agency. And then people looked at him signing so many free agents last year and said he didn't stick to his word. And I think they're wrong. I think they still are trying to build. Look at the positions.
How many people in their draft that they drafted last year played last year?
Well, but look at the positions that they drafted. Yeah. The positions that command the most money in free agency are what? Offensive tackle, quarterback, corner, those sorts of positions. Those are the guys they drafted.
They drafted them.
And so that's how you build. You know, I can go find, I can't find a Frankie Louvu specifically, but I can find a guy that plays linebacker for a good deal in free agency. I can find a guy. Look how much Saquon Barkley was making last year. I can go find a guy that runs the football like that for cheaper than I can a wide receiver. And so what they did is they built by drafting important positions, and then they spent at tight end. They spent at linebacker. Yep. They spent at positions where, okay, we can get better value here than we can through the draft. And so what they did is they did that. And this year, I think they could do the same thing where you try to build on that offensive line or D line, whichever one, like you said, that probably is the priority at 29. That's the priority position where Myles Garrett's going to cost you a lot. Even if you bring him in a trade, you have to pay him again, right? So that's going to cost you a lot of money. Maybe the way to go there is you draft an edge rusher. I know a lot of people are looking at James Pierce kind of falling down the board. Ran a 4.47 at the combine yesterday out of Tennessee. Could someone like that be available? And I think that's the way that you address these things. And I think that's still going to be their philosophy going forward.
But he's still built from the draft.
Yeah.
But I say it all the time. You're not going to have all young guys on your team. Not going to have all old guys on your team. You're trying to build a team. Okay. And if you got six draft picks and you pick six people and five of them make it, that's building from the draft. But you're going to have to spend money.
Yeah.
You know, people, like I remember when I went up to Philly, I forgot his name, the general manager, will always brag every year about how much they were under the cap. And so they asked me that question. I said, well, maybe if he wasn't so far under the cap, maybe we would have won the Super Bowl instead of just being a contender for
it's
it.
It's true.
And then after Joe Banner, that's him, after he stopped being there and then they got the guy there now, They won Super Bowls. You know why? Because they wasn't that far under the cap. They spent the money. You have to spend it. And if you draft people and you sign them and you got money and you got a guy out there that can make you much better, go get him.
Yeah.
You know, but I think that Adam did exactly what he said. But people are so accustomed in this town of watching our guys in the front office not do what they say that we are still stuck in that. We got to get to the point where we get past it. Stop living in the past and start going by what you see now.
The next question is, who do they keep in free agency? And I think, you know, when you look at what they did this past season and the offseason where they brought in so many one-year deals, so many guys in free agencies, like, you guys have brought up the point plenty of times that if you want to build a sustainable winner, which is another question he has at the bottom here, you kind of want to have that core group together for more than just a year at a time. You want to have guys signed for 2, 3, 4 years and down the line. And so I think when you bring back some of these guys like a Bobby Wagner and a Zach Ertz, I think that's going to be important for this team because they were important last year. But you need to get guys that as soon as they're going to be done, because they're on the last couple legs of their career, maybe a season or two left for them, you need to have guys that can step up. So hopefully Sinnott takes that step forward so that by the end of next year, however Zach Ertz is doing, you can at least depend on Ben Sinnott.
Yeah.
Same thing with like a Jordan McGee, or if they want to draft another linebacker to fill in once Bobby's done. So that's the thing that they need to figure out here is maybe you bring back a Bobby Wagner, and if he starts taking a step back, you have guys that can fill in and are ready to go.
And I think you look at the people that play, like a Jeremy Chinn is somebody I look at too. But what if you have, you know, Quan already on the roster where you think, okay, he can make that step. He had a good year last year. You know, Butler is still there. He had a good year. You start looking into it and say, okay, can we roll some guys into this thing? What they ultimately are trying to get to is having guys at this point where you know who you have and you know who's coming behind them. And if you can start getting it rolling like that, you're good. But to bring Bobby back, Ertz, they helped build this new culture. And they can help go some more. I think you want guys, even if you come with somebody this year, bring a guy that has influence over just his position. Bobby Wagner has an influence over the offense and the defense, especially his position. Hell, he even have influence over the coaches. You hear them talking about how he's in the meeting, he'll see stuff and bring it to them and help them with their game plan. You know, Zach Ertz, when you saw Jaden get in trouble, who did he look for? Zach Ertz. So you can start having young guys learn from these guys, and it changed that learning curve. You know, everyone thinks you can come into the league. And I've said it, it takes 2-3 years before you really understand this. But it could be quicker if you got some guys right in front of you who are also talking to you in the locker room, you know, having that outside of the practice field conversation, which makes things a lot easier, and you see it a lot clearer.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're dead on there. With a guy like Bobby Wagner, part of the reason he was so impactful was not just because he was helping out Frankie Louvu and the guys in the linebacker room, but he's helping dudes at the defensive end position understand, okay, this guy's alignment is going to help you know that this is tipping off a run play to the right or the left, those sorts of things.
Yeah,
we talked about this before. Sam Cosmi talked about this in camp, how the way that he aligned after the play or whatever, Wagner's like, I could tell that you were pulling, you're going this way, you're running a counter. Mm-hmm. I could tell just by your alignment. And that helps out so you don't do that same sort of thing. And then obviously the relationship with Jaden.
Yeah.
So when you've got a guy on the defensive side that understands the game as well as anybody in the National Football League that plays it still at a high level, helping out your quarterback as a rookie, I think it's really impactful to bring him back.
Jaden and Bobby talked, and they mess with each other. Bobby, the big brother, and Jaden, the little brother. But their conversations made both guys grow.
Big time.
You know, Bobby is looking at a quarterback who has unlimited skills. What am I showing you? He can help him get better and flip it over. What did you see? Bobby tell him things which make him now, instead of dropping back and keeping here, look over here a little bit and then come back. You know, if you can make that linebacker settle, it gives you, he has a strong enough arm to get it through gaps. Well, now instead of the gap being 4 yards, it's now 5.5.
Yeah, well, and I mean, if you can get the mind games right for Jaden, which he, I think, started to get in the second half of the year, I mean, just imagine that, being able to play the nuanced drop-back passing game where I'm looking the safety off, I'm moving guys with my eyes, and on top of that, if nothing's there, I can take off and run for 70. Like, that's just the element that, you know, some of these all-time great quarterbacks, they master the quarterback position and were able to do a lot of different things, but they didn't have that cheat code. Where, yeah, I go back to the play in the divisional round against the Lions, and Tom Brady's on the call, and it almost sounded like Brady was a little bit jealous of Jaden, where he goes, they got a corner blitz off the left. He sees it coming late. He's unblocked, and he just still escapes. He's like, I don't get it. He still picks up like 8 yards. Yeah. Brady was like, if I had that, I was screwed. I had to dump it off to the running back, but he just goes.
Yeah, but like, you always want to get into the hands of the playmaker.
Mm-hmm.
Jaden just happened to be a playmaker.
Yeah.
So he already has it in his hands. So it's easy for him to take off if he sees something. But I think what early in the season, you would see him, because all the talk about don't run, don't this, he was thinking about everything. In the second half of the season, he just reacted.
Yeah, he was just playing.
And I think that is because of talking to Bobby a lot, looking at the film as he does. When this stuff becomes reactionary, it's all over for this league.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.